Hey, welcome to the Growth.me summary of The Psychology of Selling by Brian Tracy. The Psychology of Selling is a classic business book that is a must read for sales professionals. Brian Tracy shares many practical tips for how to get more appointments, what to say during sales presentations, and the best ways to close the sale. Our top quote from this book is, "Small differences in ability can lead to enormous differences in results." Sales may be the most important skill for anyone to learn. Why? Because we're all in the business of selling something, whether we are convincing our boss that we deserve a raise, or selling our services to a potential client, or marketing a product to the masses. Many people say this book, The Psychology of Selling, is a must read for sales professionals. After reading it myself, it's easy to see why. The book begins with strategies for overcoming our fears of failure and rejection. Then it explains the psychology of why other people buy so that our words can speak directly to their hearts and minds. Finally, there will be plenty of practical tips for exactly what we should say during every step of the sales process. Okay, this is starting to sound like a sales pitch itself, so I guess the book must have rubbed off on me. Anyway, Brian Tracy has been one of the biggest names in self-development for decades. He focuses on topics like goal setting, time management, and sales training. He's written many best-selling books and has spoken to large audiences hundreds of times. When Brian first began publishing, it was a while ago, he was selling courses on those old audio cassette tapes, but he's made the transition to the digital age beautifully with a highly popular website, YouTube channel, and Facebook page, which are all worth checking out. And without further ado, let's jump into the first great lesson from The Psychology of Selling, which is number one, copy success. Simply do what other successful people do. Brian Tracy started his career near the bottom. He didn't graduate high school, but chose to travel instead and later got an entry-level sales job. He was knocking on doors and getting rejected over and over again. He was working very hard from early morning until late at night, but was seeing very little return for his efforts. But then one day, Brian noticed the most successful salesperson in that company didn't seem to work nearly as hard as him. So Brian asked him how he did it. And this successful salesperson was very helpful. He explained that he used to work at a Fortune 500 company that had professionally trained him in sales. And they taught him many effective skills, like how to put together an effective sales presentation, skills which could be transferred to his later jobs. Now, Brian Tracy didn't even know what a sales presentation was, but he was very eager to learn, and he picked up many great tips from that successful guy. And his sales immediately went up. And from that day on, he was hooked on learning and self-development. And then he found out about the other books and courses available that teach selling, and he read as many of them as he could, and he continued to improve. Eventually, Brian went from being one of the worst salespeople in that company to being a sales manager who trained other new employees about how to sell successfully. But he says the most important lesson he learned was to simply look at what the most successful person or people are doing in any area and then copy them. Here's a quote from the book. "Here is a great rule. If you do what other successful people do over and over again, nothing in the world can stop you from eventually getting the same results that they do. And if you don't, nothing can help you." End quote. So Brian learned that sales is really a collection of related skills. In this way, it's like golf or many other activities. In golf, you can practice and get better at putting, driving, and hitting the ball where you want it to go. Well, in the same way, you can also practice and get better at several key skills that will determine how many sales you make. Here's another quote. these seven key result areas are prospecting, building rapport, identifying needs, presenting, answering objections, closing the sale, and getting sales and referrals, end quote. So those were the main areas that we need to focus on to become better at sales. Here's a quick summary of this first lesson. Brian Tracy was one of the worst salespeople in his company until one day he asked the most successful guy for help. And from him, Brian learned tips that immediately improved his sales. Most importantly, he found out to always emulate the actions of those who are successful in any area. And now lesson two, value yourself. A positive self-concept greatly improves selling ability. So your self-concept is how you see yourself and your beliefs about yourself. Closely related to this is the idea of self-esteem, which means how much you like yourself. Brian Tracy says all top salespeople have a positive self-concept, and this gives them the power to be enthusiastic, charming, and resilient to rejection, all traits which are extremely important to succeeding in sales. So feeling good about ourselves lets us be charming and charismatic. Emotions are often contagious, which means when you feel good and the other person feels good talking with you, and if you want to make a sale, then it's usually essential to create that sense of friendliness, rapport, and then trust. And by the way, one of the greatest business books ever is called Influence by Robert Cialdini, who's a psychology researcher and university professor. In that book, Cialdini explains six scientific principles for getting people to say yes to our requests. One of those principles is called liking. Cialdini explained that when we like a salesperson, we're more likely to believe them and want to buy from them. And research shows that liking is increased when we are similar to or more familiar with another person. Learn more in our summary of Influence by Robert Cialdini at growth.me. So, back to this book. Being enthusiastic about our product is another incredibly effective technique in selling. This isn't about faking it. We should truly feel great about the product that we're selling and really believe that it's the best option for the person sitting in front of us. Brian Tracy writes, quote, "The primary emotion in sales success is enthusiasm. Enthusiasm accounts for 50% or more of all sales ability. One of the very best definitions of a sale is a transfer of enthusiasm," end quote. So how do we build that positive self-concept so that we can be more charming and enthusiastic? Well, Brian Tracy offers a couple of classic self-help techniques to do it. First, mental rehearsal. This means spend some time every day imagining yourself talking to prospects in a relaxed, confident, and successful way. Clearly visualize yourself as the type of person you want to be. And this technique can be especially useful to boost confidence before a sales appointment. Top athletes often use visualization to improve their performance, and we can do it too. And the second technique is affirmations. This means saying positive statements to yourself throughout the day. When Brian was first getting started in sales, he often repeated, "I like myself, I like myself," to himself. He repeated this 20 to 50 times every single day. And he says, when you say these kinds of sentences to yourself with emotion, then you do feel better about yourself. And it's another way we can pump up our emotions and to stay enthusiastic throughout the day, which will improve our sales. Okay, so this lesson in short is that your self-concept is how you see yourself. Top salespeople have a positive self-concept, which allows them to be charming, enthusiastic, and resilient to rejection. And you can build your self-concept through techniques like mental rehearsal and affirmations. Now we have lesson three, overcome rejection. The more prospects you meet, the more sales you make. Research shows many salespeople only spend 1.5 hours of every workday actually talking to prospects. Why? Well, because it's emotionally painful to call random people and to risk rejection. So it's just human nature to procrastinate that kind of work that feels so painful. Of course, this leads to poor results at the end of the year. Brian Tracy says, quote, "The fastest way to increase your income is simple. It is the key to success in selling. The key is spend more time with better prospects. This six-word formula is the recipe for high income in every market." End quote. That is a great point. Spend more time with better prospects. But how do we reduce our fears of rejection and failure so that we can face more prospects and increase our income? Well, Brian says top salespeople do it in two ways. The first way is with a positive and strong self-concept. So when someone thinks well of themselves, then they're much less affected by what other people think or say. Rejection doesn't hurt their feelings because they strongly like themselves. And to improve this, you can see the previous lesson that we just covered. Okay, and the second way to reduce rejection is to realize that rejection is not personal. People say no for many, many reasons that have nothing to do with you. They say no because the product isn't right for them, because they had an argument with their spouse, because they have an automatic sales resistance, because of 100 other reasons. And successful salespeople come to terms with the fact that rejection is an entirely normal, predictable, and inevitable part of selling. And by the way, one of the best self-help books for learning to care less about what other people think is called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. In that book, Ruiz explains four rules of living well, rules which he learned from studying the ancient Toltec people. And the second rule of his is never take things personally. You see, the ancient Toltecs believed that every person is living in their own personal dream. This means anything they say or do is really more about them and the dream they're having than it is about you. That book says, quote, "You are never responsible for the actions of others. You are only responsible for you." When you truly understand this and refuse to take things personally, you can hardly be hurt by the careless comments or actions of others. End quote. And you can read more in our summary of the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. Okay, so this lesson, in summary, most salespeople spend little time talking to prospects because most of us have that fear of rejection. We can reduce this fear with a stronger positive concept of who we are, and also by realizing that rejection is not personal, but simply an inevitable part of selling. And next we have lesson four, set goals. Work backwards from big yearly goals to plan each day's actions. Top salespeople set goals. From being in contact with over 500,000 salespeople around the world, Brian Tracy has noticed that almost all the top ones are avid goal setters. Rather than just stumbling into work each day, they have specific targets they aim to reach daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and yearly. Now, you can't control whether any one prospect will buy, but you can control your actions each day. And for most salespeople, the most important action they can take is how many people they call or reach out to every day. Over time, a greater number of calls will result in more sales through the law of averages. So here are three quick tips for setting sales goals from Brian. First, set an income goal 25 to 50% higher than your previous highest income. This is large enough to be motivating without being so huge that it feels overwhelming. Second, write down 100 goals for your life. Every day, spend time imagining and visualizing how you want your life to be. What kind of car, clothes, and lifestyle will you have? And third, plan each day beforehand. Working backwards from your big yearly income goal, determine how much money you need to make each month, week, and day, and then calculate how many sales calls you need to make each day to hit that daily income goal. Then discipline yourself to make this many calls every day, no matter what. This lesson, in short, top salespeople, set goals, set an income goal for yourself 25 to 50% higher than your previous top income, then write down 100 other goals that make you excited, determine what activities you must do each day to reach your big yearly goals. And now lesson five, sell utility. People only care about what your product can do for them. Salespeople often fail to sell because they talk too much about their product, its great features, and high quality. Unfortunately, the prospect doesn't care about any of that. They only care about one thing. What can it do for me? In other words, what end result will your product deliver to them? Any nice features or high quality of your product are only relevant to the prospect if they deliver some desired end result. Otherwise, they really don't care. People buy a product when they believe their life will be better off in some way after using it. So if you're having trouble selling a product, then focus on communicating that you understand their needs and explain how your product will reliably fulfill those needs. Now, the most common human needs which sell products include making or saving money, physical and emotional security, being liked, respected, or valued by others, being healthy and fit, having love in relationships, moving ahead in our careers, and personal growth or transformation. So as much as you can, try to fit your product into some of those core human desires. Okay, so this lesson in summary: your prospects don't care about your product. They only care about what it will do for them. Show them you understand what end result they want, and then explain how your product will deliver that. Now, lesson 6, sell uniqueness. Why should they choose your product over any other? The next part of sales is about your competition. To make the sale, you need to show the prospect not only how your product will fulfill his needs, but also why he should choose your product over the competition. In essence, why you? And the answer to this question is called your competitive advantage. To compete in business, your product must be in some way different, better, or unique compared to all the other options your prospect has for fulfilling this particular need. So if you can find your product's competitive advantage, then selling will become much, much easier. If you don't, then you will be forever struggling to sell it. Here are the 4 major strategies to finding your competitive advantage. First, specialization. If you felt a strange feeling in your chest, would you rather see a general doctor or a heart specialist? Of course, the specialist. For the same reason, try to avoid being a generalist in your business. Specialize in solving a particular problem, and people will value you more. Okay, the second strategy is differentiation. What makes your product different than all the others? Does it have any features or improvements that solve the prospect's problem better, faster, or easier? Don't just say quality. That vague claim doesn't mean anything to most prospects. Focus on the utility of what it can do for them better. The third strategy is segmentation. Which segment of the market will you focus on? Try choosing a very specific demographic, profession, or type of business. This also makes marketing a lot easier because you know exactly where to look to find your prospects. And the fourth strategy is concentration. This is focusing your efforts to land the big deals. In some industries, making one sale to a huge company can earn you more money than dozens of sales to individuals. Brian Tracy says, "The basic rule in selling is to always fish for whales, not minnows." Okay, so this lesson in short is, how is your product different, better, or unique? How does it fulfill your customers' needs better than all their other options? 4 strategies to find your competitive advantage include specialization, differentiation, segmentation, and concentration. Okay, now lesson 7, get appointments. How to make a great first impression on the phone. So in one of the chapters of The Psychology of Selling, Brian Tracy shares some very practical steps to get more appointments. Here are just a few highlights. First, start by asking if they have 2 minutes to talk. This is better and sounds more respectful than jumping straight into talking about your product. Okay, the second tip is engineer a strong opening statement. You see, most salespeople begin a call by talking about their product. And this often makes people tune you out as another salesperson. So the right approach, the right opening, is to ask a powerful question aimed directly at a benefit they are seeking. Now keep refining and improving this statement until you get it as close to perfect as you can make it. And you'll know you got this right when most people react to your question by saying something like, "Really? How do you do that?" For example, Brian Tracy was able to effectively sell sales training with this opening statement. Here's a quote. "I would say, Mr. Brown, my name is Brian Tracy. I'm with the Institute for Executive Development. I was wondering if you'd be interested in a proven method that could increase your sales by 20 to 30% over the next 12 months. What kind of response do you think I got? Almost every prospect answered, "Of course, what is it?" End quote. Okay, so that shows a great opening statement and the kind of response that you want to hear. And our third tip is don't sell your product, but the appointment. Most people simply don't make their important purchase decisions over the phone. So avoid talking too much about your product. Simply talk about the benefits that your product can bring. And when they are interested in those benefits, then ask to make an appointment to show them what it is. If they ask about more details about your product, then try to steer the conversation towards setting up an appointment. Okay, and the fourth tip is confirm the appointment beforehand. And this can save you a lot of time if they're in a meeting or otherwise unavailable. And if they are busy, then immediately reschedule for another specific time. Okay, so this lesson in short is to get appointments, engineer a strong opening statement or question targeted at a big benefit they want. They should respond with, "How do you do that?" And then don't talk about your product over the phone, but schedule an in-person appointment. And next we have lesson 8, ask questions. Identify each prospect's specific reasons for buying. So imagine you're at the appointment. Now what do you say to the prospect? According to Brian Tracy, the best salespeople spend most of their time asking questions and listening rather than talking. Questions allow you to identify the needs of each individual prospect. And then you can speak directly to what they just told you they want. And then later on, you'll keep their full attention easily by talking only about the features they care about and ignoring the ones they consider unimportant. But it all starts with asking those questions and listening. It's best to ask open-ended questions. These are questions which can't be answered with a simple yes or no. For example, a great early question could be, "What end result would you want to see to feel satisfied with this product?" And as you learn more, your questions should move from general to more specific throughout the presentation. Ultimately, you want to find each prospect's hot button. This is the most important benefit from their point of view, whether that is convenience, support, etc. When you find their hot button, then you want to repeat that benefit, that one thing, over and over again in your sales presentation. Now, to find the hot button, you can invite feedback, like throughout your presentation, ask them if each feature is important to them, or you can ask them directly. This is the simplest way. You could ask, "If anything would convince you to buy this product, what would it be?" They may tell you what their hot button is. And finally, you can also survey past customers. You can ask 10 recent customers what made them choose your product. And if most of them say the same thing, then you've found the major hot button for your type of buyers. Now, asking questions and listening may sound like obvious tips at first, but it's surprisingly powerful. The best book ever written on negotiation may be Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. Chris Voss was the former lead hostage negotiator for the FBI. And in that book, he explains why listening is the foundation of the FBI's whole method of negotiation. So he wrote, quote, "It all starts with the universally applicable premise that people want to be understood and accepted. Listening is the cheapest yet most effective concession we can make to get there. By listening intensely, a negotiator demonstrates empathy and shows a sincere desire to better understand what the other side is experiencing. End quote. So, if it works for the FBI, it can probably work in our situations. You can learn more great tips for negotiation in our full summary of Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss at growth.me. Okay, so this lesson in summary is the best salespeople spend most of their time asking questions and listening. This allows them to uncover the customer's specific needs, and then you just focus on the features and benefits that they just told you were important to them. Okay, and finally, our last lesson is number 9, close the sale. Ask them to decide whether your product is right for them. Okay, so let's imagine you made a good sales presentation to the prospect and now the appointment is coming to an end. What next? Of course, you need to close the sale. Unfortunately, most salespeople are all too familiar with those words, "Let me think about it." Brian Tracy says that in most cases, the prospect doesn't think about it, but immediately forgets about your product and you after you leave, because they simply have other things competing for their attention. Now, it is true that some more complex products do require multiple meetings. Like if you're selling a new type of software that will run a business's whole computer system, then that can take several meetings to make the sale. But in most cases, that when people say, "Let me think about it," it's more of an automatic reaction that people have to any sales. It's like how people automatically say, "I'm just looking," in a retail store, even if they do have some questions that the employee could answer. I know I've done that myself a few times. So how do we overcome this common roadblock to the sale? Here are 3 methods. First is the why don't you just take it close. So early in Brian Tracy's selling career, he was struggling to sell this $20 card that offered discounts for many restaurants around town. So he kept hearing, "Let me think about it," from people, and yet when he came back, the prospect had totally forgotten him. So one day he got tired of this and he told the prospect, "I'm sorry, but I don't make callbacks." So he doesn't return. And when the prospect asked why, Brian politely explained, he basically said that the product is very simple to understand and with just a few uses, it would save them far more money than it costs them. So why don't you just take it? And guess what Brian found? With this straightforward, honest pitch, his sales finally took off. And it all came from asking them to make a decision right then and there, rather than accepting, "Let me think about it," for an answer. Okay, here's the second method. It's called the approach close. So here at the beginning of the meeting, you put the prospect at ease by saying something like, "Now, I'm not here to sell you anything. I only want to show you some of the reasons other customers have decided to buy this product and been satisfied with it. And then you can tell me if this product is right for you at the end. Is that fair?" And of course, the prospect will usually say yes or okay. So fast forward to the end of the sales presentation. If they are undecided when the end of the meeting arrives, then you can refer back to the beginning and what you said then. And you can tell them that they promised to tell you whether the product applied to their situation or not. So basically, this is about trying to get them to say yes or no, or to give you an objection they have. If they do give you an objection, then you can probably answer that. You probably do have an answer. Whereas if you're stuck at "let me think about it," then you can't go anywhere from there. Okay, and the final method is called the demonstration close. With this strategy, you begin by saying something like, "If I could show you the best product or service, then could you invest X number of dollars right now?" Okay, so this strategy works well for financial products, and it helps you to make sure that you're talking to someone who is in a position to buy your product in the first place. I think the first two methods are more relevant to what most people are selling. Okay, so this lesson in short is that you'll often hear, "Let me think about it," and this is usually an automatic reaction more than anything. You must ask them to decide whether your product is a right fit for them, And they'll either answer yes, no, or give you an objection, which you can often handle. Okay, so we've reached the end of this summary. I hope you enjoyed this little window into the world of sales. Definitely check out the full book if you want to more detailed explanations of all these ideas. My favorite parts of this book was when Brian explained how we should always focus on what our product can do for people. And that's what business is all about, isn't it? Serving others and stepping out of our own selfish mindsets. Anyway, I'll see you in the next one.